part of prayer is praise, and part of the power of prayer begins with praise. And one of the great psalms of praise that is a psalm that lifts us and points us towards heaven in every circumstance is Psalm 145. And today Dion is going to read from Psalm 145. And it's our prayer that all of us will be lifted by the psalm into the very presence of our God, that our eyes will be looking at him, and in his glory and his greatness will bring perspective to all that we are praying for in the world around us. So Dion, thank you. As we read, let's read with sincerity and with praise, Psalm 145. Sorry, it's not Dion, it's Helen today. Sorry, Helen, if you would read it, dear, thank you. Helen reading today.
Whoop. Sorry. All right. So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. One of the most dynamic verses in all of Scripture can be found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, when that faithful king, Jehoshaphat, was suddenly faced with overwhelming difficulty, and hordes surrounded him. In fact, his Jerusalem was surrounded by three great armies, intent on destroying him and destroying the city. And when he woke up in the morning and found that he was in such a predicament, he turned to God and he called the congregation together in front of the temple in Jerusalem. And in front of the congregation of Israel, he extolled his Lord. He praised his Lord. And at the closure of that amazing prayer of praise, it's interesting, he didn't cry out for God's deliverance. He just praised God. He extolled God's greatness in the face of such overwhelming difficulty. And at the closure of that time of prayer, he says this in verse 12. He says, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. What a beautiful prayer, what a beautiful example of how we can face overwhelming circumstances, unexpected difficulties, pressures in our lives when we're not knowing where to turn, and we know that we do not have an answer, but to turn our eyes upon Jesus. You remember that beautiful chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And Jehoshaphat knew to do that. And his prayer reminds us that all of us, when we are faced with overwhelming difficulties and challenges and struggles, is that the first stop is to come to God and to put our eyes on him, to fix our eyes on him, and then to praise and extol his wonderful name, because there is power in praising God like that in every situation. So where do we go when suddenly, unexpectedly, life seems to turn on us? How do we find that strength and courage in the face of these sometimes overwhelming circumstances? Well, the answer can be seen not only in the prayer that we've just read, but even in the example of great men of faith and women of faith, like Moses, for example, who when at the corner of the Red Sea, with the Egyptian army coming behind him and nowhere to go, looked not at the sea and not back at the army, but looked to his God. And he prayed to the Lord, and he praised the Lord in that situation, and God responded. And out of his prayer of praise, out of his wonderful confidence to stand still and see the glory of God, lifting his staff in an act of praise to his God, the Red Sea, the mighty Red Sea, opened before all of Israel. Joshua, in the story that we looked at a little earlier, in the same way, facing this amazing obstacle, this great city of Jericho with its incredibly impossible walls that were blocking an obstacle in his way to the promised land that he could not get over on his own strength, went to the Lord and in the Lord's name marched Israel around the city, and in a shout of praise to God, the walls came tumbling down. And the obstacle was flattened before them. There is power in praise. Moses knew that. Joshua knew that. The judges knew that. David knew that when he was in the valley facing the giant. It's fascinating if you read that account of David facing Goliath, when all of Israel's armies were trembling in their boots at the face of this imposing giant. This intimidating giant, the shepherd boy comes, and in the valley as he picks up his stones with his sling, what he does is he doesn't look at the giant. He doesn't look at the giant's sword, but you see that he looks to God. In the face of that conflict, he looks to God, and he proclaims the name of God. He extols God, the God who will deliver me, who has delivered me from the lion and from the bear, will surely deliver me from this Philistine. And he goes with a confidence that comes from praise and extolling his God and keeping his eyes fixed on his God. Bible says we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we lose direction and when we feel overwhelmed and when we feel a bit crushed and we're struggling, that's where we go. We go and we put our eyes back on the Lord, and we extol his name. We remember his glory, and we praise his glory. There is power in praising God with our eyes turned on him. It was the same for Ruth. Ruth, when she had lost her husband and was destitute, would say to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go, and your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." She refused to take her eyes off the God of Israel, of the God of her husband, a god of her mother-in-law. She said, I will come with you. Even if I suffer in this situation, I will come with you. There is nowhere else for me to go. And looking to God, we saw how God delivered her in her situation. And even as you go through to the New Testament, you see it with Stephen and in his time of greatest overwhelming difficulty. While he was facing persecution, immense overwhelming persecution, as the stones were being thrown at him, he didn't see the hatred in the crowd. He didn't focus on the stones coming at him and stinging him as he was being stoned. But what did he do? He looked to heaven and he said, I see the Lord standing. And as he looked, he looked to God in his situation, and he extolled the name of his God, even in his greatest trial and persecution. There is something powerful about praising God. David knew that. And in Psalm 145, verse 1, firstly, he recognizes something of the power of extolling God. And he says in verse 1, I will extol you, O my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. In the psalm, David reflects something of where he garnered his power, where he garnered his leadership, where he garnered his ability to overcome situations. Even when he messed up himself, he always knew to go back to God. When he sinned, he knew to go back to God and extol God's glory. There is power in praising God, in extolling the name of the God of our God. In other words, of magnifying God's name, of reflecting on God's power and sharing the glories of our God. There is power in praise for us. David, as he extols and proclaims the greatness of his God, he develops a lifestyle of praise, a character of praise, if you will. And it would be something that we ourselves should learn from and seek to emulate. Because if we can become like David, having our eyes fixed on God and praising God constantly, we will find a power coming into our lives that will overcome the difficulties, overcome the situations that overwhelm us. David loved to extol God's greatness in creation. He loved to proclaim how great his God was in all of creation. He loved to extol God's name and the greatness of God's miracles and deliverance. He loved to extol God's greatness and remember God's mercy and love to his people, the great compassion which we see in Psalm 145 that he talks about. He extols God's greatness and salvation, even in Psalm 145. He is able to say, I will praise your name forever and ever. David has a glimpse of what salvation means, of eternal life. And he's able to extol his God and praise his God, and in that find a confidence in his life, in his spiritual life, that overcomes the struggles on the ground. And so for us, if David existed to praise God, he discovered what it was to live in the eternal grasp of praise. David discovered what it was to live his life in the eternal grasp of praise. And in that place, he exemplified a power that came from praising God and having his eyes fixed on Jesus. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should ask God to help us with in this time. Because if we can turn and use this time to look to God and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we too will find a power, a joy, a strength coming into our spiritual life that would encourage and propel us into the future. Because we will go forward with power, a power that infuses us with the joy of God. It's a little bit really like going to when you're running low on petrol and you've got to get your car filled up. You go to that garage and you fill up that engine with the engine with petrol. In a way, praise is like that. It's like going and filling up with petrol. It's like getting a new power, a new sense of energy for our daily journey with God. David existed in the grip of eternal praise. He knew the secret of praise. He gained power in the place of praise. But secondly, the power of praise, David understood, is unleashed when one generation extols the greatness of God to another. In that beautiful verse, as we look at that verse, I think it's in verse 4, every day we see one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. David understood how incredibly important it was that a generation of praise would be handed on to the next generation who would receive it and in turn hand it on to the next. In that process, in that application of praise, power would come to God's people, an ongoing power, an ongoing ability to go forward into the world, whatever the world was bringing to our doorstep at that time. And so David understood how important the relay of praise was and is and remains. When we were training children, whenever we were preparing children in our teaching years for athletics meetings, what we realized, if we wanted our team to win, our house to win on the day, was we would spend a lot of time training the children in the relay handover, because the relays were the most able to bring points into the situation. They were able to move your score up ahead of your competitors. And a well-run relay would take you forward in the score on athletics day. And sometimes you would come into the relay section of the athletics meet and you would be even right at the back of all the houses. But if you had trained your relay well, your relay teams well, without question, you'd move up right to near the front and even win the day. And the power of praise that David talks about is a bit like that relay. We would work hard on the actual handing over of the baton from one runner to the next. And at that place, everybody would be looking. How was the baton going to be handed over? There would be adjudicators with flags. One flag was red, one was green, and they would watch the relay takeover. And if everybody was able to pass the baton from one runner to the other, then within a certain place of handover, then they'd wave a green flag. But if the runner had gone off his track or had got distracted and knocked somebody else or run out of the takeover process, then the adjudicator would hold up a red flag and the whole team would be disqualified and lose all their points. Even if they won at the end, they would be disqualified because the handover wasn't done properly. And so we'd work really hard on the handover, and children would be able to take the baton without even looking back. They'd put their hand back and they'd run forward, look where they were going. The other person would say, now, they'd put their hand back and they'd put the baton into the next hand. Well, David understood how important that place of handover was in the area of praise. And he says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And for us, the significance of that is how important it is that we, first of all, teach our children well. You know, we talk about at the dedication, parents, instructing your children, raising them on the stories of Zion and teaching them the hymns of God, and around the family table, nurturing them, reading the Bible stories, praying with them in the home. We also in the church take our responsibility really importantly. We stand as a congregation, don't we? And say, yes, we will take our responsibility with this child that is being dedicated in our midst today. And we too will be part of the handover of praise from our generation to that child's generation. And that's why it becomes really important that we We nurture our kids' corner, our Sunday school, pray for our Sunday school teachers and encourage our Sunday school team, our Sunday school leaders. That's why it's really important that we support the youth cafe and the youth concerts that we try and do, and passing on the generation of praise one to another, declaring God's mighty acts from one generation to another. Those aspects of youth concerts, of youth cafes, of Sunday school meetings, of children's corners on our current services, our kids' corner, all that we do to nurture our children and encourage them is declaring God's praise to the next generation. And that baton being handed over will empower the new generation to go forward with their own power, their own confidence, their own encouragement, their own strength. And that becomes really important in the power of praise being passed on one from another. And then thirdly, we see in the power of prayer and in the power of praise, it's unleashed when we declare God's mighty acts, when we declare the glory of God and what God has done. And in a sense, that's why the church is so important. That's why when we come together, and how we long, don't we, for that day when we can gather together in gathered worship, what we are doing in that gathered worship is we are declaring God's glory to the world and to each other. We are praising God together. We are, in doing that, we are speaking of God's awesome acts. We are testifying to God's grace in our lives, and we declare God's greatness through our worship, our reading of Scripture, our prayer and our praise, and the declaration of Scripture to each other and to the world around us. That is the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to speak and declare God's greatness to the world. And in declaring God's greatness, we are praising our God. And in praising God, we are finding a power coming to the church and to each other. And the Lord's glory falls on us when we declare his glory to the world. Verse 8, interestingly enough, in the same context of declaring God's greatness, part of that declaration is declaring the Lord's graciousness. He is full of compassion, slow to anger, and greater mercy. Effectively, it's declaring the cross and what happened at the cross to the world, that God in his graciousness, full of compassion, slow to anger, came to the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. And there on the cross, he made a way where he showed us the greatest mercy that God could show, where he took our sin upon himself and where he died in our place and his blood was shed for us. That is the glorious declaration of God's greatest work on earth. And we thank God because as we declare the cross and the message of the cross and are reminded of it in our own lives, we can find a new power. We can go forward with new strength and new energy. And so as we worship God today, as we proclaim God's greatness, let us be encouraged that there is power in praise. There is power in declaration. There is power in passing the baton to the next generation. And there is power in extolling God's goodness to the whole world, sharing the power and glory and majesty of our God is what we are called to do. May God give us grace to do that, to be that people, to be that church that declares the glory of God to our nation, to our city, to our world. In Jesus' name, amen.